If you were raised in a healthy home with loving parents, then chances are you probably are fairly well-rounded and maybe even balanced. If your parents were neglectful, abusive, or absent, you might be struggling to find yourself, or at the very least, struggling to figure out who you are now. You might also be living with a form of post-traumatic stress disorder that significantly affects your everyday reality. In either case, if you happen to be in a relationship with someone who turned out to be a toxic narcissist, or even who had been diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder, then you would have probably endured their abuse. And if you were in that relationship for a really long time, you might feel like you've kind of lost yourself, or maybe like you never really knew yourself at all, or at least not your true self. That's due to the fact that toxic relationships change you. So today at queenbeing.com, we're going to talk about the changes that we go through during a toxic relationship with a narcissist and exactly why and how that happens so that you can start to begin to reverse these changes and create the self and the life that you want. So let's get started. Narcissistic abuse changes you. Toxic relationships with narcissists change you. They change who you become. They change what you might have been. Maybe you could have been a happy, confident, secure person, and now you're someone who doubts their worth and their value every single day. It takes away your ability to have a healthy, full life, and it causes you to hyper-focus on it as you try in vain to resolve it repeatedly, over and over again. What happens during a toxic relationship with a narcissist that leads to these changes? I mean, you're probably wondering exactly that. Which parts of these relationships lead to this sort of metamorphosis that we go through? Well, I'm about to walk you through some of the most common feelings and experiences that lead to the loss of self in a toxic relationship with a narcissist. You go through these ups and downs. One week, maybe you feel elated because you finally figured out exactly the right thing to say to this person. You rehearse it in the mirror. You go over it and over it in your head. You know that this time it's going to work. This time, the narcissist will finally see the light and become the amazing person you know they can be, or at least see you for the decent person you are. When the conversation happens, you're ready and you're on point. You say all the right things and you think maybe you see just a spark of understanding that will ignite a firestorm of positive change in the relationship. You finish up what you've got to say and you pause, looking expectantly at the narcissist, hoping against hope that the look on their face is one of comprehension, one of realization. The pause feels like a full minute before the narcissist begins to speak. And when they do, you begin to feel yourself utterly deflating. You hear the same old responses, the same narcissistic rage. And when you don't respond to that because you've learned the Grey Rock method and you understand that reacting emotionally is only going to further encourage this person to act out, well, then they pull out the old narcissistic injury card. You know, the poor me act. Yeah. And it is at this very moment when you realize for the 547,000th time that this person will not change, that there's nothing you could possibly do or say to be enough for them, to get them to just wake up and see this person standing in front of them, just asking them to love them. And you mentally resign yourself to one of two things. Either you realize that you've got to leave, or you realize that this is now your life. So how does a toxic relationship with a narcissist change you exactly? Well, it's simple. Narcissistic abuse causes brain damage, and brain damage of any type changes you. And there are three significant parts of the brain, including the amygdala, the hippocampus, and the cortex. The amygdala is the area of the brain that is known as the fear center. Each time you become scared or you feel anxious, that part of the brain is activated. That part of the brain also holds on to all the memories of the abuse. And each time anyone talks about it, your amygdala activates. The abuse you had to go through is what caused the fear center to keep activating over and over again. And then the constant activation of that fear center, well, causes it to kind of get bigger or more strong, sort of. Well, this leads you to mood disorders and anxiety disorders and all kinds of stuff. And then let's talk about the hippocampus, which is the part of the brain that stores short-term memories, which it then converts into longer-term memories. Well, the hippocampus dictates how and when you can learn something new, anything. But when you constantly are dealing with the uncontrolled stress of a toxic relationship, the hippocampus shrinks. So as you might imagine, the constant stress you're dealing with when you're in a toxic relationship with a narcissist, it leads it to shrinking even faster. This, of course, leads you to struggle more than ever with learning new things, in addition to becoming really forgetful. And finally, there's the cortex of the brain. This is the part of the brain that's located right behind the eyes. It's the part that does the planning and the making decisions, and it's where your attention comes from and your ability to remember things, memory. The cortex shrinks the same way the hippocampus does when you're under an extreme amount of stress, which, of course, a narcissistic abuse situation is. This causes making decisions to be a lot harder. It's a real challenge. And your attention span gets shorter. You're far more likely to deal with depression than you would be otherwise. And you might find yourself dealing with apathy, meaning you just don't really feel like you can do anything at all. You know, that feeling of just being stuck, can't get out of bed, or don't feel like you want to do anything. And then you stop caring about yourself. You might even stop showering or brushing your teeth. And self-care, for a lot of us during this time, it becomes a thing of the past. So now you know why you might have previously been successful or happy. Maybe you used to take good care of yourself, and maybe you wanted to contribute something to society or more than you're doing now. But after going through narcissistic abuse, you might have found yourself feeling like a real shadow of who you used to be, like a shell of your former self. And now you know that there is a scientific explanation of how the abuse changed you. I hope that helps to relieve some of your stress here. There is good news, though. Your brain can be retrained, and there are things you can do yourself at home to actually sort of start to rewire your brain. So right now, I'm going to attach a video that I made for you, at least the most important parts of it, a couple of years ago, about how to actually retrain your brain in that way. I'll come back and I'll see you right afterward to wrap up. This is all part of a concept that in recent years, neuroscientists have been discussing, and it's called neuroplasticity. So let's just start right here and talk about neuroplasticity. Take a look.
The latest research shows that when you meditate, you are actively changing the structure of your brain through what's called neuroplasticity. So let's talk about that a little bit. What is neuroplasticity? Until fairly recently, scientists always thought that the brain stops developing after a certain age, usually during the teenage years. But in recent years, neuroscientists have discovered that our brains continue to reshape themselves over the course of our entire lifetime, as long as we keep feeding it new information. Each time you learn something new, your mind sort of activates and your brain creates new connections. The new connections change the overall structure of the engaged part of your brain. This phenomenon is what we call neuroplasticity, and its applications transcend learning new things to compensating for traumatic injuries and disease. So how do you activate your brain? Well, it's easier than you might think to get neuroplasticity working for you. Learning something new systematizes your mind and helps you to grow intellectually. So when you meditate, for example, you're going to be building new pathways, resulting in your mind learning how to relax when you're dealing with stressful situations. Practicing mindful meditation for the long term helps to increase that gray matter in your brain, which is what's responsible for allowing you to make better decisions that are more in tune with your emotions. But what about negativity? How does that affect your brain? That, unfortunately, is a downside to neuroplasticity. According to researchers, your brain rewires itself for negativity when faced with any sort of repeated trauma in your life, and this includes narcissistic abuse. That's because neural pathways form to accommodate what's happening in your life, and when you're constantly trying to manage the stress and personal torment that comes with being in any sort of relationship with a narcissist, well, you're probably not feeling very positive. And whether you just stress out about it silently, or you vent to a friend, it changes the way your brain works. Before you know it, these mental habits become ingrained into your neural functioning. This makes it easier to come back to these patterns again and again. Chronic complaints, for example, negativity in general, have also proven to shrink the hippocampus, the part of the brain that's responsible for problem solving, and to increase the hormone cortisol, which is very well known as the stress hormone. Cortisol affects a wide range of bodily functions, including regulation of blood pressure, memory formulation, metabolism, inflammation, blood pressure, weight, blood sugar, and immune system.
Bottom line, there's a lot more to this, but what it all comes down to is that your brain, it can change. It can be damaged and you can repair it thanks to this neuroplasticity factor. No longer are we relegated to live with the brains we developed as teenagers. That means a lot of really good things for us, my friend.
Let's talk about equal breathing. This is a technique from yoga, which essentially requires that you breathe in and out through your nose. While you do this, you maintain your breath for an equal amount of time on the inward and outward breaths. So you might breathe out for 4 seconds and then breathe in for 4 seconds. This helps you to empty your lungs and fill them with fresh oxygen. The slow, deep breathing will allow you to trigger your rest and digest state, which is similar but slightly different to the fight or flight state, which is controlled by the parasympathetic nervous system. And this is a great way to stave off an anxiety response. Next, we're going to cover breathing from the stomach. This is another breathing technique to try, and it's simply to breathe from the stomach. So if you try breathing right now and note whether your stomach or chest moves first, you might well find that you breathe by leading with your chest. This will limit the amount of oxygen that you can take in with each breath, and that can increase stress. Instead, breathe by first allowing your abdomen to expand. Use those muscles and expand your abdominal cavity. This will allow your diaphragm to drop into that space, opening up your lungs. Then you can follow by expanding your chest, and you will have more space in total to take in more oxygen. Let's talk about power positions. Power positions are those which have been shown by research to trigger the production of positive stress-fighting hormones. One of those is called the victory pose. If you simply stand with your arms above you in a V-shape, like you had just won a competition, this will increase your production of testosterone and other good feel-good hormones, helping you to feel more confident and more driven.
So, what do you think? Is this something that might work for you? This brings me to the question of the day. The question of the day is, did you have a relationship with a narcissist? And if so, how did it change you personally? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comments section below, and let's talk about it. Now, I'm going to leave a link for you right here that will contain a playlist that's going to help you even more with sort of taking back your life and your identity after a toxic relationship. Take a look at that right now. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you here and here. And while you're at it, hit that subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.